I greet you in the high and holy name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. I call attention to your sermon notes in your bulletin today, not only because you have some blanks to fill in, but in each of five categories today, you will be asked to grade yourselves. So I call your attention to that. Let us pray. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Give us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. From that great repository of wisdom called country music come these forgettable lines. Ever since we said I do, there are so many things you don't. Now, the song suggests a disconnect between commitment and production. Well, let's shift that thought over to our walk with Christ. Is there a disconnect between commitment and production? I mean, when we were saved and born again, Jesus Christ took over our hearts and filled us with His Holy Spirit. Therefore, we should be producing spiritual fruit. And my question for us today is, how productive are we for Christ? Jesus said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree is recognized by its own fruit. Speaking of trees, let me tell you about the magnolia tree in our backyard. It's 10 years old. Every year it has produced beautiful, healthy leaves, but none of those gorgeous white blossoms for which the magnolia is famous. Other trees in our neighborhood were full of white blossoms, but not our tree. About 3 or 4 months ago, we had a landscape expert come in and study our tree. And she prescribed a hearty dose of water and a special application of fertilizer. And lo and behold, 2 months ago, our tree began to produce gorgeous white magnolia blossoms. You see, the tree had the right DNA. It was not going to produce pear or apple. It was going to produce those white blossoms. All it needed was a little cultivation and encouragement. Now, similarly, when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts and minds. Our DNA, our spiritual DNA has changed. We become capable of producing fruit for God's kingdom. Jesus said, make a tree good, its fruit will be good. But like that magnolia tree in my backyard, we still require some cultivation and encouragement. And this morning, I will try to assist the Holy Spirit in helping us all become more fruitful. In our text for today, St. Paul lists 10 specific fruits of the Spirit that a Spirit-filled Christian ought to be producing. Now, let me remind you, we are not saved by producing fruit. We're not saved by doing anything. We are saved by simply receiving by faith what Christ has done for us, especially on the cross. But born-again, Spirit-filled Christians should produce spiritual fruit. And we produce fruit as a way of saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done and are doing in my life. I'm grouping these 10 spiritual fruits into 5 categories, as you will notice there in your bulletin. And I'm going to describe each one and invite you to grade yourself in each category on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. How effective are you in producing fruit for the kingdom of God? Category number 1, the fruits of love, gentleness, kindness, and goodness. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciples if you love one another. It's interesting to me that Jesus said, there's one way you'll be able to tell if they're Christians or not. Not the way they look, where they live, none of that. Do they have love? That will be the distinguishing trait. To show Christian love toward a particular person does not mean that you necessarily like him or her, or want to be buddy-buddy, or hang out with him or her. No, and it certainly does not mean that you agree with everything he or she does. No. To express Christian love, and we call it agape, that's the Greek word. To express Christian love means that you seek what is truly best for another person, whether that other person loves you back or even appreciates it. Seeking what is truly best for another person is Christian love. Some years ago, when I was a brand new pastor at a church in Columbia, I had not been there 2 days before the church secretary said to me, Pastor, there's a certain task that has been waiting on you. Now, that should have made me suspicious right there. She said, there's a lady who lives near the church. She's not a member of the church, but she lives near here. And every morning, she walks her dog across our property, and the dog is not helping our shrubbery, if you know what I mean. And Pastor, you need to speak with her. Now, when you're a new pastor, you try to please everybody. So I sat down at my desk and tried to develop a presentation that would be appropriate for this lady and her dog. Now, if you want to do a little exercise in creative writing, I dare you to sit down and work out such a suitable presentation. But anyway, I gave it my best shot. Sure enough, a day or two later, I look out my window. Here she comes with her dog. So I stride out to meet her. Before I could say a single word, she said, Oh, Reverend Balknight, I am so pleased to meet you, and it's such a privilege to be one of the first in our community to welcome you. And I want you to know this, that even though I'm not a member of your church, when I found out you were coming here a month ago, I have been praying for you and your ministry every single day. Rather meekly, I said, Thank you very much, ma'am, and you have a nice day. And I went back into the church, and the church secretary said, well, did you fix our problem? I said, No. That woman beat me to the punch with kindness. Our shrubbery is just going to have to take care of itself. There is enormous power in a kind word, a warm smile, and a gentle touch. When it comes to expressing kindness, gentleness, Christian love, how are you doing? To what extent does your face, your actions, your words express Christian love? Give yourself a grade, 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. Category 2, the fruits of the Spirit, joy and peace. Joy and peace. St. Paul describes these fruits in his letter to the Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is this joy and peace that Paul's talking about? I'll tell you. It's the tranquil feeling you get when you put your head on the pillow at night knowing that your sins are forgiven, that your eternal destination is secure and guaranteed, and that nothing can happen tomorrow that you and God Almighty can't handle together. That's what that joy and peace are. The late, great Ernest Fitzgerald, Bishop Fitzgerald, told me one time about a man he knew who lived in an isolated valley up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Western North Carolina. Life was hard on his little hillside farm. The farm was always subject to drought or flooding or extreme cold. But Bishop Fitzgerald said, this man, this old mountaineer, was about the most serene and peaceful man he had ever met in his life. And so one day, Bishop Fitzgerald asked him, said, sir, do you have any troubles, and do any of those troubles keep you up at night? And the old mountaineer said, yes, sir, I've had my troubles, but no sleepless nights. Because when I go to bed, I say, Lord, you have to sit up all night anyway, and there's no point in both of us losing sleep. So if you'll look after things tonight, I promise you when I get up in the morning, I'll do the best I can to help you out. No anxiety on earth can steal our joy if we remember that we reside right here in the hollow of God's hand and near to His heart. So, grade yourself on how much joy and peace you are feeling and spreading around. 1 to 10, please be honest. Category 3 features the twin fruits of patience and self-control. Patience, that's something you admire in the driver behind you, but not particularly in the one out front. Let me ask you this. Do you sometimes in conversation with a friend complete his sentence because you know what he's going to say, rather than having the patience to wait and let him express it in his own way? King Solomon said this about patience and self-control. Better a patient person than a warrior. Better a person who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Patience, that's the ability to keep your motor idling when you feel like stripping the gears. A patient person not only counts to 10 before speaking in anger, but while he's counting to 10, he whispers a prayer for the person who triggered the anger. So, how do you rate yourself on patience and self-control? And husbands and wives, don't coach each other in how to grade, please. Everybody should do it for himself or herself. Category 4 of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness. To be faithful to Christ is to be obedient. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. And what was Jesus' last command or assignment to us before he ascended? You shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, he said. So, to be faithful to Christ, we should be willing to share the faith whenever, wherever the opportunity presents itself. Now, Satan hates for us to do that. And so Satan has spread the lie in our culture that you should never talk about your faith out in public because you might offend somebody. What a lie that is. And Satan has told that lie and spread it because he knows that if we talk about Jesus and our church, that's spiritual dynamite. And so he wants to do everything we can to shut us down. But in St. Peter's first letter, he advised us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And dear friends, never let a week go by without saying a word to somebody, even a sentence, about Jesus and his church. Now, this is Father's Day, and so for a moment, I want to focus this challenge on fathers. When your children are about 8 years old, that's when they get a gift of a Bible from the church. Because by the age of 8, the kids usually have the ability with reading. That's a wonderful time, 8 years of age, for you to sit down with a child and tell him or her when you became a Christian. Who influenced you? How old were you when you made that first commitment to Christ? Yes. And then after having told your story, say to that child, dear one, whenever you're ready to invite Jesus to be the ruler in your heart, you tell me and I'll help you. And even if your child is much older than 8, even grown, it's never too late to share a word about who Christ is for you, what he is meaning in your life, how you came to know him. Of course, across the years, I've done many, many funerals, and I usually sit down with the family beforehand to talk about the deceased person. And I almost always ask them, tell me about, let's suppose the one who had died was a father. Tell me about your father's faith. How did he come to know Christ? When did he come to know Christ? What influences were brought to bear that nudged him toward Jesus? And occasionally, it saddens my heart when these grown children say to me, well, Dad never talked about his faith. He was really private about that. What a shame! Because nothing you can ever do for your child is more important than sharing Christ with him or her. So now I ask all of us, not just dads, all of us, how eager and willing are you to share with other people how much you love Jesus? Give yourself a grade, 1 to 10. How eager and willing are you to share with other people how much you love Jesus? The final category of spiritual fruit is humility. And in our scripture lesson, the last verse in the Galatians quotation, St. Paul said, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And Jesus said, if you're invited to a dinner party, don't go sit at the head table. Go to the lowest position. And then later, maybe the host will invite you up to a better spot. Thomas Wheeler is the former CEO of a major life insurance company in America. And Thomas Wheeler tells a story on himself, which is one of my wife's favorites. Thomas and his wife were driving down the interstate highway on the way to a vacation destination. And they were having an animated conversation. And so Thomas did not notice that his gas supply was running low until the little light came on the dashboard, indicating he better find a gas station quickly. So he took the next exit, and there was only one gas station. It was a dumpy little affair with only one pump. But he pulled in there, told the attendant to fill up the car while he went to the restroom. When he came back in a little while, the attendant was having an animated conversation with his wife. Well, he paid the man, got back in the car. They got back on the interstate, and Thomas asked his wife, so what were you talking to the attendant about back there? She said, you won't believe this, but I went to high school with him, and my senior year, we dated several times. Thomas thought about that and began to have a thought that he should have kept to himself, but he didn't. He said to his wife, you know, dear, you are a mighty lucky woman. You could have been married to the owner of a shabby little service station instead of married to the CEO of a major corporation. She said, no, Thomas, if I had married him, he would be a CEO and you'd be out pumping gas somewhere. Now, Thomas deserved that, didn't he? Yes, he deserved it. And how fortunate is the husband who has a wife who can gently bring him down to earth when he's soaring a little bit too high. As Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When you're with a group of people, do you feel a need or a compulsion to be the center of attention? Or are you just as contented to be in a supporting role? So grade yourself on this humility factor. 1 to 10, with 10 being highest. How do you handle that particular fruit of the Spirit? In closing, let me share with you a story from the great Chinese evangelist Watchman Nee. Told a true story about a Chinese Christian who had a little small rice paddy, and every day during growing season, he would manually crank this pump so that water would be brought from a nearby canal into his rice paddy. And then later in the day, his communist neighbor, who had a rice paddy, would remove the boards separating the two properties and allow the water from the Christian's rice paddy to flow into his rice paddy. So the communist was getting irrigation without doing any work. And this made the Christian angry. But instead of retaliating against the communist, he prayed about it. And the Lord gave him a strategy. So the Christian began to get up earlier in the morning, and he would pump enough water into the communist rice paddy so that it was well irrigated. Then he would replace the boards and pump water into his own rice paddy. And within a month, both crops were abundant. And something else wonderful happened. That communist became a Christian. Now just think of the spiritual fruits that that Chinese Christian exhibited. Virtually the entire list that St. Paul gave us. Love, peace, patience, a world of patience. Kindness, goodness, yes. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, certainly, and plenty of humility. And so my question for us today is, what about our own fruitfulness? Which of these fruits do we need to increase? And in which ones are at least a quart low? As Jesus said, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." And to God be the glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let us sing God's praises, and we will even sing our benediction.